This is No Sleep Just Sports Radio.
What up? This is No Sleep Just Sports Radio. I'm your host, Jeff Stevens. Got a couple good topics for you today. Definitely going to talk about the NBA Finals a little bit, just give you my feelings on a couple things. Got to talk about LeBron and AD being paired up. That's definitely big. Got to get into that a little bit. And we're definitely going to talk about CP3 and Harden not getting along. So just stay tuned. This is No Sleep Just Sports Radio. All right, so first we're going to go ahead and jump into the NBA Finals, and just I got a couple feelings about everything. First off, I want to go ahead and congratulate the Raptors on their first NBA championship. It's definitely well-deserved. I'm not one of those guys who's going to sit here and give the Warriors excuses for injuries or anything like that. When they won their first title, well, not their first title, but the first title of their run, nobody gave the Cavs any excuses because they didn't have Kyrie and Kevin Love. So I'm not going to sit here and give the Warriors excuses. You can go throughout NBA history, sports history, and if you're going to put asterisks next to every championship that had some injuries involved in, you're not going to have very many championships that don't. So I definitely want to congratulate those guys. It's very well deserved. But I just kind of think that the series was a little underwhelming. Everybody was all excited about a playoffs without LeBron. And to be honest, a finals without LeBron just wasn't the same. And maybe it's because I've grown used to seeing him just put up spectacular, ridiculous numbers in the finals. It's something that I enjoy. It's something that most people enjoy, you know. But I definitely think that was a factor, not having him in the finals. The ratings were down, but I just don't. Again, it just was kind of an underwhelming series. Maybe the injuries did have something to do with that as far as the watchability of the series, because it just wasn't as fun to watch as previous finals. But again, I couldn't get into the series the way I got into some of the other series of this playoff, of these playoffs. You know, like I had more fun kind of watching the Raptors play the 76ers to seven games. I had more fun watching Denver and Portland go to seven games. It just wasn't necessarily on the excitement meter. It wasn't really up there for me. But, it's still the NBA Finals. It's still high quality basketball, high intensity basketball. But I just didn't. I didn't get that same feeling that I got from some of the other series and even this playoffs. So that's one thing that's one thing that I took away from the finals. Another thing I took away from the finals is that I don't really give a shit what anybody says. Kawhi is the best player in the NBA until further notice. And I say that definitely taking in consideration the injury to Kevin Durant, taking into consideration that LeBron didn't necessarily have his best year last year. Now, I'm not talking about numbers, because you go look at LeBron's numbers, his numbers are still LeBron-like numbers, you know. But I just didn't feel like he was very motivated. I didn't really feel like he gave his best effort last year. And so when I feel like you're not even giving your best effort, I can't really necessarily call you the best player in the NBA. Now, I don't mean that to slight LeBron or anything. That's my opinion. You know, if I'm not feeling like you're giving the best effort, then I can't really say that you're the best player in the NBA. But until further notice, I'm definitely giving that trophy to Kawhi, because throughout the whole playoffs, he averaged like 35, 36 points a game. He's one of those guys who you know he's good. You know he's one of those dudes. But to see, it's been a while since we actually seen Kawhi play some high-level basketball. So to actually see him play high-level basketball, even play through injury, lead his team just to their first NBA championship, like that was big for me, man. That was big for Kawhi's career. You know, I think it's definitely going to be a a milestone in NBA history. I mean, it's Toronto's first championship, so that's big. But just Kawhi's performance, I think in the next 10 to 15 years, people are going to look back on his performance and it's going to go down with some of the other best performances throughout the playoffs in NBA history. So I definitely it was fun to watch, man. It was as a Warriors fan, it kind of sucked. Honestly, I was more upset that it was going to be the last game in Oracle. I was more upset that the Warriors are going to San Francisco than I was that they lost the championship. I mean, as a Warrior fan, man, I've seen some dark times. I've seen some bad seasons. I've watched a lot of bad basketball. So to have three championships within the last 5 years, there's no way I could be like upset about losing the finals. Now, don't get me wrong. I wanted them to win the finals. I think winning the finals the last season in Oakland, one last hoorah, one last parade in Oakland, I think that would have been like dope. You know, I think that would have been extremely dope. You know, like just for the city, for the team, everything. But to when it didn't happen, I didn't have a sense of anger or anything. You know, like I wasn't upset. I wasn't hurt or anything like that. It was kind of just like, oh, okay, well, you know, it is what it is at this point. And maybe that has a little bit to do with the fact that there was injuries and everything. You kind of expect, you want them to win, but when you see Klay go down as well as KD, it's like you kind of expect them to lose at that point. But at the same time, you still root for your team and you still want to see them pull it out and you still have faith in your team. But just in all reality, a team with Steph and Draymond isn't an NBA Finals team. That's just not, with those two being your best players, that's not an NBA Finals team. And those are just facts. I don't really think that's a matter of opinion. I kind of think those are just facts, you know? So it was more hurtful to know that was going to be the last game in Oakland, the last hoorah in Oakland, than it was to actually see the Warriors lose. That was just, it wasn't, like I said, I've seen a lot of bad basketball, man, and to see my team win 3 in 5 years, I can't be mad at that at all. Another thing I got to take away from the finals is I think we need to kind of start putting Steph Curry's greatness into a certain context. And I don't mean to like diminish his greatness or anything like that, but I mean, how many times do we have to see it before we come to the realization that Steph has obvious limitations? And I don't think necessarily they're bad limitations. I think there are normal limitations for most point guards, most guards that are his size. There's only so much guards his size can do to affect the game to a certain point. And they need bigger wings. They need wings. They need big men. That's why the point guard has always been offset with a big man or a wing, or, you know, a really good team around him. It's never necessarily been just the point guard leading the charge to a title. That very rarely happens. I think that's why Allen Iverson gets the respect that he does, because he did it by himself pretty much. And that just, it does not happen. You know, he didn't get a title, but he led that team to the finals, you know, pretty much by himself. And I think, I just think Steph has some obvious limitations that we have to start to acknowledge. Now, when you look at his numbers, his finals numbers aren't bad. I honestly think he probably should have got that first finals MVP over Andre Iguodala, but that's past time. It is what it is at this point. But when you look at his numbers in the finals aren't bad. I think they're somewhere around like 27, 28 points a game, 6 rebounds, 5 assists or something like, his numbers aren't bad in the finals. And, but when you actually watch the games, there are obviously big moments where he comes up short. And I'm not knocking him for missing shots or anything like that, but there's a big difference between Steph Curry trying to take you out in the regular season and Steph Curry trying to take you out in the finals. And that's kind of one of the best ways I can put it is when I watch Steph in the regular season or first couple rounds, when it's game time and he's got to take you out, there is no fear. Those shots go up with supreme confidence, and you can see it in his swag. You can see it in the way he approaches the shot, the way he walks into a jumper. All that stuff is very apparent. And when you watch his tape in the finals, those shots don't go up with the same confidence. He doesn't have that same swag. I didn't see one shimmy, you know, like there's a big difference between, I don't want to say the way he approaches, because I think he still prepares the same ways. You know, I think he still prepares with intensity and I think he still prepares smartly. But I just think he kind of shrinks in the big moments. And that's something that we have to acknowledge at this point. That's something that we can't continue to look over, you know. I'm not going to get on here for missing game winners or anything like that. I've seen all the greats miss game winners. I've seen all the greats miss plenty of game winners. I don't think that necessarily means you aren't a great or anything. I don't think that means anything, really. I just think it means you missed a shot. But at the same time, it's not just that one shot. You got to take in account the last 4 minutes or the last 5 minutes of games in the finals and stuff like that. I mean, I think he scored 2-3 points. He didn't score very much in that last game in the fourth quarter. And like I said, it's just I don't feel comfortable discussing Steph Curry and not discussing his shortcomings the same way that we would discuss the shortcomings of a James Harden, the same way that we discuss Kobe's shortcomings. I mean, could you imagine if Kobe didn't score for the last 4 or 5 minutes of a finals game? I mean, we'd crucify him. Could you imagine? You don't have to imagine. We've seen James Harden not score in the last 3 or 4 minutes of a really big game, and we've crucified him for it. That's just, you know, while I feel like we do have to put Steph Curry's greatness in a certain context and appreciate that greatness, you also have to criticize him the same way you criticize everybody else. When Dame and CJ got swept last year, not to say that they're on that level, but when they got swept, we crucified them. That's that's what we do. You come up short, we don't give you props for that. You know, like, you come up short, you got to deal with that. You got to take these jokes. You got to take this L. That's just what it is. So at the same time, I feel like we got to do the same with Steph Curry, because I feel like sometimes he kind of gets a pass. I don't understand why. Well, that's a lie. I do kind of understand why. I think it's because Steph Curry is more of the average man can more relate to Steph Curry. Steph Curry isn't your athletic phenom. He isn't, he isn't 7 foot tall or anything like that. I think the average man can kind of more relate to Steph Curry. And I think that's why he's a little more, why he's beloved the way he is among the public and just NBA fans in general. I think that has a lot to do with it, as opposed to a guy like LeBron, who's just an athletic phenom, and he's kind of hard to relate to on a personal level for a lot of people who don't know him personally or don't necessarily watch him speak or anything like that, for people who just watch NBA games and watch highlights and stuff like that. So I think that has a lot to do with why people love Steph Curry so much. Is he kind of, he's not your average Joe, but your average Joe can relate to him a lot more than they could somebody who can jump 45 inches in the air, or somebody who is just naturally just, they can run up the court in 4 seconds, or, you know, just somebody who is some type of athletic phenom, some type of some type of athletic freak. And that's just that's my take on why people kind of relate to Steph Curry and why he kind of gets a pass among the public a little more. But at the same time, and you get in there with them dogs, you're going to have to fight with them dogs. And when you lose, you're going to get criticized like the rest of the dogs. That's just kind of what it is, you know. I don't like the fact that he comes up short. And again, I just don't feel comfortable discussing all his accolades and how good he is without discussing that he also has obvious shortcomings that definitely hurt his team. Definitely hurt his team this series, and definitely have hurt his team in the past in previous finals. So I just, like I said, we gotta criticize Steph the same way we're gonna criticize everybody else. And that's just the way I feel about that. Again, I wanna salute the Raptors for a great series. Their first NBA finals. That parade looked crazy, bro. Like, that parade looked like it was lit. Kawhi definitely showed a little bit of his personality with the laugh, and it was fun. It was fun to see them enjoy it the way they did, you know. So again, shout out to Toronto, shout out to the Raptors, shout out to Drake, shout out to the Six. Like I said, man, they did their thing, man, and congratulations to them. And next I want to jump into, which is probably the biggest trade in NBA in the past, what, 10 years, maybe more, maybe NBA history. Players this young, this good, don't usually get traded. You know, so again, it's probably one of the bigger trades, but let's jump into this AD going to the Lakers, man. Again, I don't think the Pelicans got fleeced or anything like that. I think they got a really good return. I don't think the Lakers got fleeced. You don't get fleeced when you get AD. That's preposterous. You know, like, and unless you traded the rights to the franchise as an owner or something like that, there's no way you get fleeced when you get AD. You give up whatever you have to give up to get AD. Like, when I heard Kuzma wasn't going to be included and that may have killed the deal. What? Like, don't get me wrong, I respect Kyle Kuzma, but what? I mean, it's AD. You give up whatever you got to get AD. So, kudos to the Lakers front office for finally getting this deal done, so we can finally talk about the deal actually being done and not maybe in what if the deal is going to happen. So kudos to Rob Pelinka in the front office for getting it done. One thing I do have to get on them about, though, is how do you not see the salary cap implications that this deal is going to have? You know, how do you not see that you may not have a max, you may not have max dollars available for somebody when you get this deal done? That part of it was a little, it's crazy to me. You know, I definitely don't really understand how something like that gets overlooked. But at the same time, it was fun to see the Lakers be the Lakers again. And I don't mean like anything on the court. I'm just talking about how they build their teams usually. Past 5 or 6 years, the Lakers have been kind of going through a rebuild like any other NBA team would, through the draft, not really getting many free agents. They got LeBron, of course, but pretty much building their team through the draft, player development. That's not the Lakers. That's not the Lakers that I know. The Lakers that I know, they let somebody else do the player development and then they go make the big splash. That's just what they've done throughout history. You know, they go trade for big name players. They do whatever they have to do. They give up pretty much whatever they have to give up to go get big name players. And I respect it. I do think there's an aspect of the player build, player development and team building that you do have to be able to do still, regardless, to have consistent success. But at the same time, when you can bring in players like AD, I mean, come on now. Like, that, it was just fun to see the Lakers get back to who they were. It wasn't fun seeing the Lakers build through the draft. and develop players. Like, it just wasn't fun. I'll be honest with you. It's a lot more fun to see the Lakers go make that big splash and be good. And I don't really care what anybody says. They are an immediate contender. I think people kind of are a little bit underestimated because we haven't really seen AD be AD in a while because he was on the minutes restriction and things. There's been a lot going on with him because we didn't really see LeBron be able to be. Well, LeBron wasn't a motivated LeBron and he missed a lot of games last year. I think people have kind of forgotten who these two dudes are. Now, I understand LeBron's getting older and things like that, but a motivated LeBron is still top three in the league as far as players. Maybe number one. You know, like he's that good when he's motivated and actually wants to play. AD is one of those dudes, bro. Like AD is only 26. But I mean, I remember conversations about AD being the best player in the league just a year and a half ago. You know, so I don't understand why people wouldn't think. Don't get me wrong. They may not be able to beat some of the best teams in the league in a 7-game series as far as winning a championship with just AD, LeBron, and a couple stragglers. But with AD, LeBron, and a couple stragglers, they are immediate contenders to be in the race. I don't think that's a question at all. I mean, LeBron made it, and granted, it was in the East, but LeBron made the finals with I don't want to say a bunch of bums because that's pretty disrespectful. But he made it to the finals without much help at all. And so you give him a player like AD, that's going to put him in the running for the finals again, in my opinion. Like I said, they may not be able to beat some of the more well-built teams from top to bottom, but just being that top-heavy, they're going to compete, like, immediately. And I don't understand why people feel like they won't compete if they aren't able to fill out this roster. I understand that they probably won't get another max player, but you get a couple good role players. You get a couple guys that may, you get a guy or two who may want to come from the league for the league minimum. Dude, you're going to be okay. Like, you're going to be fine. They're going to compete for one of the top spots in the West, in my opinion. And they're going to go deep into the playoffs, barring any injuries or anything like that this season. The Lakers are back. The Lakers are back, and I don't mean that just as an on the court thing. I just mean as the conversation around the Lakers, the aura around the Lakers. Don't get me wrong; you still got a lot of questions about management and things up top. But as far as what they are going to be able to do on the court, and just the conversation around the Lakers are back. Again, I said this before. I think it's better. I think the league is better when the Lakers are good. So I just think this is gonna be really fun to watch. I won't go into making predictions about championships, how many they're gonna get, and all that. I just think it's gonna be a really fun thing to watch to see two of the top five players in the league on the same team. You know, like is with the West being wide open this year too. Like I can't put it past them that they'll be number one just because those two players are that good. And I feel like people are kind of overlooking how good those two dudes are. Like I said, you can put a couple of stragglers around there and you're still going to get the 5 seed. You know, you'll probably get a 4th. Like, I just don't understand the conversation about that they're probably going to struggle this season. It's going to take a little time for them to figure it out, but two players that good, they're going to figure it out. AD's by far the best player LeBron has ever played with, and of course, LeBron is by far the best player AD has ever played with. So I just think it's going to be really fun to watch. I definitely think Pelinka fumbled the bag a little bit. Like, Pelinka was right at the goal line, finna score the touchdown. Like, he got the 99 yards. They're right there at the goal line. He was going to score, and he fumbled at the one. They recovered it, and they still got a chance to score here, you know, but Pelinka definitely fumbled at the one here. And it's just, it's funny. I mean, he's a rookie GM, you know, so I don't necessarily say that to give him a pass. I say that to say he's going to make mistakes. This one just happened to be he's not a rookie GM. He's a couple years into it, but he's a young GM. But this one, this is a pretty big mistake in my opinion. So those are a couple of takeaways that I have. Now, it's obvious that they definitely do still need to, I think that this front office still needs to prove that they can build a team. Now, I say that, like, this is an obvious move. Like, you got a chance to trade for AD. You trade for AD, no question. You give up what you got to get, no question. Any GM in the league makes this move. I don't think that's a question. But I have yet to see them actually be able to build a competent team. So that's something that I definitely want to see if they'll be able to do. Because when they got LeBron last year, they went and got Rondo, Lance Stephenson, and JaVale McGee and said that they were going to change basketball. And so, I need to see them actually be able to still be able to build a competent team. But at the same time, you got AD and LeBron, man, like, shit changes, you know, like, shit changes. People are going to be wanting to take discounts. The players around them are going to look better than they probably are because they're going to have more space to do what they can. You know, if you get a shooter, he's going to have more space to shoot. And things like that. So I definitely, it's going to be fun to see what they're able to do next season. I'm definitely interested in seeing the players that they're going to put around AD and LeBron. But either way, this team's going to be in the playoffs. This team's going to compete for a championship. I think you do have to actually build a competent team around them to win a championship. But even if you just throw some dudes around them, you're going to compete with those two players. So it's going to be real interesting to see what happens going forward. Definitely, kudos to the Lakers for getting this deal done. Kudos to the Pelicans for, I mean, you're never really going to get equal return for a guy like 80, but damn, was that a haul. Damn, was that a haul. The fourth pick, Lonzo, Ingram, a bunch of other picks, like, and Josh Hart, like, that was a haul. So I definitely kudos to them. I mean, I think it's a good trade for everybody involved. Good trade for both teams. You still got the first pick. You get Zion, and you already have the pieces to build around Zion. You already have the pieces to put a good team on the floor. You don't have to wait another year. You don't have to wait another 2, 3, 4, 5 years to actually get good. And you know, like, I just think it was a good deal for both teams. So kudos to both sides. Hey everybody, Jeff from NSJS Radio here, and I'm here to tell you that if you're looking for the latest and greatest in tennis shoes, you need to go to iShop11.com. That's right, iShop11.com. They're going to have the latest and greatest in tennis shoes for you and some exclusive fits. Go to iShop11.com. You can also follow them on Instagram at iShop11. You want to spell that out, iShopElevn, iShop11.com. Tell them Jeff from No Sleep, Just Sports Radio sent you. All right, so last thing we're going to get into today is just this whole CP3 and James Harden mess. I don't really have any... I don't feel sorry for the Rockets at all because we all knew this was going to happen at some point. When they made this trade, the big question was, how does this work on and off the floor? it just doesn't... It's never really made sense to me. The pairing of these two guys, just the way the Rockets play and the way that James Harden has the ball 99% of the time it doesn't mesh with what Chris Paul does. even when they're on the floor together and James doesn't have the ball, when they do let Chris initiate the offense, James just kind of goes and stands in the corner and I guess takes a break, takes a breath, takes a rest a little bit, takes a little break. He just kind of stands over there. And apparently that began to annoy Chris Paul. I guess they have some issues where Chris Paul kind of tries to coach James Harden, and James doesn't really like that. The personalities of these two guys don't really mesh, and their play styles just don't really mesh. Now, when you put them on the court together, you're going to get by on sheer talent to a certain extent. But at the same time, I think guys actually liking each other goes a long way to how they're going to perform together on the court. At least these days. Back in the day, I don't necessarily think it mattered too much. But nowadays, if guys don't like each other, then they probably aren't going to play very well together. That's just how the game has evolved over the years. And when you look at the way Chris Paul is kind of a prickly personality, Chris Paul is very opinionated. From what I can see from the outside, Chris Paul definitely doesn't have a problem telling you what you should be doing. And not everybody's cool with that, especially when I'm better than you, dude. Like, I think this is a thing. Like, Chris Paul has never really played with a player that's better than him. You go back and look on his teams, he's usually the alpha dog. And that's not the case here. But he still feels like he has the clout to go and talk to the alpha dog. And that's just not, you know, that's just not, it's not really how it works. I just don't understand. I don't really understand how they thought this was going to work. I think this is one of those things where the whole analytics over everything kind of becomes a problem. Because you look at the numbers and what could be with the numbers, but you don't necessarily look at what could be with the personalities of these two guys, what could be as far as them clashing. And I think, because these two guys are so talented, you're going to get by just sheerly on their talent for a while. But at a certain point in time, you are going to have to, they're going to have to be able to get along and like each other. And you heard the reports of them kind of having a feud after game six. And then James Harden gets on the podium and he's acting all weird, says a couple weird things. And now it's all coming out. And this is something that everybody kind of saw. This is something that you could have asked me when they first got together. And I'd have told you eventually Chris Paul is going to rub somebody the wrong way, because that's kind of what Chris Paul does. And unfortunately, that's kind of how he's going to be. I think that's how he's going to be remembered a lot. Like, he's going to be remembered as a great player. History, you're going to look at his numbers and he's going to be remembered as a great player. But I think he's also going to be remembered as a guy who pretty much in every stop except his first one has rubbed people the wrong way. And for one reason or another, it's become public that he's rubbing people the wrong way. I heard a guy, I was listening to the NBA Ringer podcast, and I heard a guy say he actually was not, he was talking to players on the Clippers when Chris Paul was there, and they just simply would not answer questions about Chris Paul. And so, it's one of those things. And then James Harden is kind of a cocky, he's kind of a cocky dude, in my opinion. He knows how good he is. And he's better than Chris Paul. Like, it's not even, I don't even think, at this point in their careers, I don't really think it's close. And so for Chris Paul to be coming and trying to coach him, I think there's a way that you can go about that. But Chris Paul kind of has this big brother thing about him where and just from what I can see from the outside, it looks like he kind of feels like he knows what's best all the time. And it's going to rub some people the wrong way sometimes. Whether whatever the advice is good advice or not, it's going to rub people the wrong way sometimes. It's just how people are. It's just the way life is. Another thing I kind of came up with here is they don't play winning basketball. Like, the way they play basketball isn't necessarily a winning style. So I think Chris Paul kind of has a point when he says the ball needs to move a little bit more. I mean, even if you're going to play that style while Harden's on the floor, if you're going to let Paul run the offense, get Harden's ass out of there and put somebody that's going to help Chris Paul on the floor. Just my opinion, you know, like I don't understand why they continue to play this same style of basketball when it's clearly going to come up short at some point. I mean, just throughout history, you look at the way Mike D'Antoni teams play. It does not work. It works to a certain extent, but it's not championship basketball, in my opinion. So it's just it's funny to see that it's all coming out this way. It took a couple years, but this is something that I predicted. This is something that I saw a bunch of people on TV predicting, everybody on Twitter. Like, it's just, it's something that was kind of inevitable, just because the two guys you got two guys who have alpha mentalities. Whether one of them is an alpha at this point in his career or not, they have alpha mentalities. And that, I mean, just throughout history, they butt heads. Those two alphas butt heads. That's just kind of the way that goes. Daryl Morey tried to come out and clear the air, because I guess it came out that Chris Paul said he wanted to be traded. Chris Paul got on Instagram and said that was not true. But at the same time, where there's smoke, there's fire. And so while he may not necessarily have come out publicly and said he wanted to be traded, or James Harden may not have said it's me or him, there's something there. And I don't think those two guys are as good of friends as the Rockets organization will want us to believe. Daryl Morey came out and tried to clear the air, said that there was no trade request. Harden never said that. He said he's talked to both of those guys, said they're good friends and everything. I don't necessarily think he's lying, but I also don't think, I wouldn't expect him to come out and tell us the whole truth about something like that, about the rift in his team. Now, one thing I do like that I've heard about the Rockets is that they want to attach themselves to Jimmy Butler. They want Jimmy Butler, and I think that would be a really good fit for that team on both sides of the ball. He's a guy who can get his own shot. He can shoot the three, and he is a supreme defender. Which will definitely help them out with a lot. I think losing Trevor Ariza and Luke, I can never say that guy's name. I'm sorry, I just can't get it right. I think losing those two guys definitely hurt them defensively. So getting a guy like Jimmy Butler to come in will definitely help them a lot defensively. Of course, I think they're going to have to get rid of Capella to actually make that happen. And I don't think Jimmy's taking a discount, in my opinion. So you definitely are going to have to create some cap space to make that happen. But at the same time, I think that's a perfect fit. Even if Chris Paul stays, I think those three is a really perfect fit if you play basketball the right way. If you change up the isolation, I think it can work perfectly. If you're just going to turn Jimmy Butler into a guy who stands in the corner and runs a couple pick and rolls every now and then, I don't think you can put anybody in that situation and it's really necessarily going to work out in the Rockets' favor. But if they can change up how they play a little bit and actually get Jimmy the ball and get Chris Paul and let Chris Paul like actually run the offense and do what he does best, I think it'll work out. There's a lot of ifs and what ifs and maybes that are attached to that. So, but I definitely think that them having their name in the Jimmy Butler sweepstakes is good for them. Then, like I said, I just think it's a good fit for them if they're going to try to switch up the way they play a little bit. And with that, we're going to call it a wrap today, folks. I appreciate everybody's patience with me. Been going through some family things, and I just been going, it's been a lot going on in my life lately. So I had to kind of take a break from recording, get my mind straight. But I'm back. We're back. No Sleep, Just Sports Radio. Again, I appreciate everybody tuning in. Go check out my new piece on bluemanhoop.com. Check out nosleepjustsports.com. Follow us on Twitter at NSJS Media. Follow us on Instagram at NSJS TV. Got a lot of good things in the works. I'm doing my best to push this brand. So I appreciate everybody tuning in. I appreciate everybody's support. Subscribe. Wherever you are listening, subscribe. I am still working on this iTunes thing. I do not know exactly what's going on, but I am not going to stop until they let me own that bitch. So I appreciate everybody just being patient with me on that too. Again, No Sleep, Just Sports Radio, nosleepjustsports.com. Subscribe. Thank you.
This is No Sleep, Just Sports Radio.